Good morning, everyone. The title of our message today is Imitators of God. I thought that for the next couple of weeks, I would share with you my personal journey with the Lord. It's difficult when you have two churches or more and you have several hundred people that all want to know about you. It would just be a little bit easier for me just to share that story with you over the next couple of weeks so that you'll know who I am and where I'm coming from and hopefully where we're all going, right? You have your Bibles. Open them up to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll be starting there, and we'll get into our scripture reading in 5 at the end, but get your Bibles open to Ephesians 2, and let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, loving Father, Lord, you are so good. And Lord, you have done so many things in my life, in the lives of all of us here. Lord, being a Christian is all about change. You want to change us more and more into the image of Jesus. And our prayer this morning, Lord, is that you would help us to see how not only you've worked in my life, but how you've worked in each person's life. Help us to reflect on that and see the things that you are doing, and perhaps even the things that you want to do in our lives, Lord, that we haven't allowed you to do. And so, Lord, our prayer is that the Holy Spirit would stir our hearts this morning. Lord, help me to get out of the way and glorify yourself in the process. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you heard the story about the guy who was pastoring a non-denominational church, and he went to an Unlock Revelation seminar up in Alpena that the Alpena Seventh-day Adventist Church was putting on, and he ended up leaving his church and became a Seventh-day Adventist? Any of you heard that story? A couple hands I see. Well, guess what? I'm that guy. I'm going to get to that over the next couple of weeks, but I want to start with you at the beginning of my story. That's a good place to start, isn't it? And my story began at my birth, even though I didn't know it. On January 1st, 1963, I was in the hospital being delivered, and 3 days later, I was still in the hospital. Not because anything was wrong, but just simply because back then the mothers were allowed to recoup a little bit. They left them in the hospital. So while my mother and I were in the hospital, my dad was in an ambulance on his way to the University of Michigan with my 3-year-old sister, and she died on the way. And brothers and sisters, when that happens, as a parent, losing a child, there's only two ways that you can go. Either you turn to the Lord and you trust that the Lord has a better plan than you do, and you put your faith and hope in Him, or you turn away, and that's exactly what happened to my parents. My mother loves the Lord with all of her heart, mind, soul, and body, and she trusted that God had a better plan than she did. And my dad became very bitter and very angry. And he said, "How could a God of love take away my little girl?" And that's the house that I grew up in, a house divided. And you know, as I was growing up, I was watching my parents. All of you who that have children or grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you know this already. Your children are watching you. Your home is a training school for your children. And as I was growing up, I was watching my parents. And I saw that my mother's life, we were going to church 3 times a week, and her life was seemed to be very rigid and very boring to me. And my dad was drinking and partying, and it seemed to be very exciting. And so by the time I was a teenager, I was already experimenting with drugs and alcohol. And one morning I woke up when I was 15 years old, And I heard a voice. It was a man's voice. I don't know whether that voice was inside my head or out, but I heard this voice say to me, I want you to go to the seminary. Well, being 15 years old, that's about the time when you start thinking about, what do I want to do with my life, right? And so I started thinking about that voice. You have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 2. Look with me, starting in verse 1. The Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians, he's saying to us, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we also once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We believe that, don't we? That is the same message that Jesus gave to Nicodemus. You must be born again. You have to be redeemed. You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The old has gone, the new has come. You are now a new creature in Christ. That is my story. And that's your story. But my story didn't start out that way. If you looked at me as a teenager, you would think that I was doing it all right. I grew up in the Lutheran church, and I was going to church 3 days a week with my mother. I was an altar boy. I had been confirmed outwardly. Everything looked right. But inwardly, I didn't know God. And when God spoke to me that day and told me He wanted me to go to the seminary, I knew what that meant. I knew that I want you to be a pastor. But I grew up in a house divided. I saw the difference between my mom's and my dad's life, and my dad's was far more exciting. And I remember at the end of that day, after hearing that voice several times, I just thought to myself, no, I don't want to do that. The second morning, I woke up and I heard that voice throughout the day, I want you to go to the seminary. And at the end of the day, I literally said out loud, no, I don't want to do that. I woke up the third day and I heard that voice over and over and over again all day long. It literally was driving me crazy. I thought I was schizophrenic. All of a sudden, I'm hearing voices, right? I didn't know that it was God, or I didn't want to believe that it was, and I literally went outside, and at the top of my lungs, I yelled, I don't know who you are, but I want you to leave me alone. I don't want to go to the seminary. I want to party and have fun with my friends. I don't want to ruin my life. And brothers and sisters, I never heard that voice again. For 20 years. For the next 20 years, I partied and had fun with my friends and ruined my life. I say ruined my life, but if you looked at my life on the outside, you would think, here's a guy who's got it all together. Fast forward 20 years later, and my wife and I and our four children were living in San Diego, California, and we were living the American dream. I was a one-third owner in a corporation that was incredibly successful. We had been in business at that point for 5 years, and every year we had grown 45%. It was incredible. but we were really good business partners. The one gentleman was, I was in my mid-30s. The one gentleman was older than me. He was in his 50s. And the other one was a little bit younger than me, late 20s, early 30s. But we worked very well together because the older gentleman had had a business before. He had a great business mind. And then the other gentleman, the younger one, was an incredible salesman. And I had all the technical expertise. I had the licenses and everything. So we worked really well together. 5 years into that business, we were doing over $5 million a year in business. And I was not looking for God. In fact, I was the king of my castle, the ruler of my domain. I was large and in charge. All you had to do is ask me and I would have told you. Or so I thought. But then one night, I went to bed just like every other night. But this night, God came to me in a dream and He rocked my world. He gave me a Damascus Road experience that I have not been able to turn from. I woke up that next morning and I knew that that was no ordinary dream, that that was real, and that that God was real. And for the first time in my life, I really felt that there was a God and that I needed to get right with Him. I said to my wife and my children, "Do we have any Bibles in the house?" I was surprised to find out we had three. A children's Bible, a King James Bible, and just a small New Testament. So I took that King James Bible and I went straight to the book of Revelation. Because in that dream, somehow, some way, I don't know how, I just knew that some of the things that God was telling me were out of the book of Revelation. So I went straight to that book and I read all the way through it and I didn't understand it. But I saw some things that were in there that I knew that were right out of that dream. I knew that it was real. I read through the book of Revelation 6 or 7 times, and then I started reading through the rest of the Bible. I started to learn about God. I told my wife, "We need to start going to church." And she thought that that was a good idea. She had seen some changes in me and she liked them. And so we started going to church and we took our children, we had 4 children, they were all teenagers at the time and they all had a drug problem. We drugged them to church every week. They did not want to be there. And they made sure that we knew it. But all of a sudden, I had a love in my life that I didn't have before. I thought I loved my wife and my children. And now all of a sudden, I had a love that I couldn't explain. But something very strange started happening to me. My children started pushing away from me. In fact, my youngest daughter said to me one day, "Dad, I can't even talk to you anymore. All you want to talk about is Jesus." And at first I got upset with her and I said, "That's not true. I talk about a lot of things." But the more I've thought about that over the years, the more I hope that she was right. Because Jesus is the only truth I know. I began reading that Bible and I just couldn't put it down. In fact, I would go to work and work all day and then come home and all I wanted to do was read the Bible. Sometimes I would read the Bible through the entire night, didn't get any sleep, just read through it, and then I'd go to work the next day. Totally refreshed. Not tired. But all I could think about was going home and reading the Bible. And God began to change me. Little things at first. And more and more. I got a lot to this story. Over the next 2 Sabbaths, today and the next 2, I'm going to share part of my story with you. So I'm going to skip through some things today. But I want you to know that I'm just going to give you the highlights. There are so many things that God has done in my life that it's amazing. I can't even tell you. It would take several weeks to tell you all of it. But I want to share with you how God began to change me. I was reading through the Bible, and my partners and I were never really close. I mean, we weren't friends, we weren't buddies, we were business partners, and we worked well together. And I didn't realize it, but the older gentleman, he didn't like me very much. He tolerated me because I made him a lot of money. But I look back at it now, and probably rightly so. I wasn't a good person. I was selfish. It was all about me. And I knew that, but now I had given my heart to the Lord, and now I had all of this love, and I'm trying to love this guy, and it seemed like the more I loved him, the angrier he got. All of a sudden, he couldn't stand me. And so I went to the other partner, who was a Christian, and I said, we need to buy him out. We're unequally yoked. See, I was reading my Bible. I was learning a little bit, right? And I told him how we could do it. And he said, I don't know about that. I got to pray about that. And I said, yeah, that's probably a good idea. I would expect you to do that. Well, several weeks went by, and all of a sudden, I got a call from him one day and said, we have got to meet at the corporate attorney's office and talk about our partnership. And in my mind, I'm thinking, all right, we're going to buy this guy out. So we went to the attorney's office and went into their conference room, and no more than my butt hit the chair, and the older gentleman stood up and he said, we've been having some issues and we need to talk about our partnership. And he looked at the other guy and he said, what are your issues? And the guy said, well, I've had some issues and you and I have talked about them and I'm okay. And I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I pretty much figured out at that point we weren't going to buy him out. And I think that God was already preparing me for that. Because he then turned and he looked at me and he said, well, what are your issues? I just looked at him and I said, you guys know that my life has been changed pretty radically lately. And though we have issues, I don't really care to talk about them. I would just like you guys to buy me out. And I have to tell you that I had been chasing money my whole life. But God had brought me to a place rather quickly in my walk with the Lord to see that I couldn't chase God and money. And so I asked them to buy me out, and then immediately the meeting was over. And so I got up and I left. But I got to tell you, I felt like a huge weight had been taken off of my shoulders. Because now, for the first time in my life, I felt free. Free to chase God and not money. That was a Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I went home and told my wife what had happened. And we had Thanksgiving off, and I got to tell you, that was the best Thanksgiving I've ever had. It was incredible to just feel like I was free to chase after the Lord. We had Friday off, Saturday, Sunday, Monday morning, I went back to the office, and the younger partner met me at the door, who was a Christian, by the way. He had gone through a divorce several years later, and it really drove him to God, and he was a Christian. He met me at the door, and he said, we got to have another meeting. And so I walked into the older partner's office, and once again, my butt barely hit the chair, and they handed me two pieces of paper. I looked at the first piece of paper, and it said, we had a meeting of the board of directors of this corporation, and we voted you off the board. You are now strictly a stockholder and an employee of this company. By the way, That was how I had told the partner how we could buy the other guy out. It's not a very nice tactic, but it's called a corporate power play, and it happens all the time. It's totally legal. Anytime you have someone on a board that you don't want there, you just have a secret meeting, you vote them off the board. And then they're strictly a stockholder of that company. My intention at that point was to give him some kind of value of his stock, to be totally righteous with him and do the best we could. I looked at the second piece of paper and it said, "We are an at-will employer and your services are no longer required." And I got to be honest with you, my heart fell into my sock. Because all of a sudden I went from a six-figure income to I got to go home and tell my wife I just got fired from the company we started in our garage. And I didn't know how I was going to do that. But I praised God. I just offered up a really quick prayer, said, "Lord, you've got to help me." And I stood up and I shook their hands and I wished them the very best. And I left. I went home that day, and Sabrina only worked part-time, and the kids were in school, so she was home, and I told her what had happened. And we sat there in the kitchen talking about what we were going to do. Because all of a sudden, we didn't have an income. And you know, God's timing is always perfect, isn't it? I love God's timing. It always seems late for us, but it's always on time. And while Sabrina and I were sitting at the kitchen table talking about what we were going to do, I saw out of the corner of my eye something moving, and I looked out through the living room, out the front door, and there was a guy walking up the front walkway and set down a box and turned around and left. In our business, we had grown 45% every year, but the last year, we had grown in work, in productivity, in employees. We were now at about 50 employees, and we were growing that way, but we made less money as partners. And so we had a meeting to talk about what we were going to do to try and help our business so that we could get that return back. And we had decided that we needed another certification. And we had decided that because I had all of the technical expertise that I would be the one to get this certification. And this certification is worldwide, and you have to take an exam to get it. And you have to have 10 years of verifiable experience in the industry to sit for the exam. You have to have people that recommend you for that exam. And then out of all of the people that take it worldwide, only 3% pass. And so we had decided that I was going to take that test. And while we were sitting there talking about what we're going to do, up comes this delivery guy. I go get this box. I set it on the kitchen table, open it up, and here is the volume of books that I had ordered to study for this test. And we prayed about it, and we saw that as a sign from God. And so we said, "Okay, Lord, instead of trying to find a job, I am going to study for this test and take it." And we went online and we looked, and there was going to be this test 3 months later in Arizona. And so we decided at that point that I was going to treat that like a job. And so for the next 3 months, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, I studied. And I went to take that test in Arizona. And I got the word a couple of days later that I passed. I got to tell you, it was a 3-hour test, and by the time I got out of there, my brain was mush. It was brutal. It was no wonder to me that only 3% pass. I got word from that. Then I sent my resume out, and within a week, I was hired by the largest telecommunications cabling company in Southern California. making almost to the penny what I was making in my own business. It was amazing. God was so good to us for being faithful. But somewhere along the way, God began to impress upon us that we needed to move to Alpena, Michigan, where I grew up. And I'm going to tell you a lot more about that story next week. But I'll tell you this. I wanted to be totally free from this business. And I wanted them to buy my stock. And so I hired an attorney and a CPA, and they went into the business and they examined the books. And they totally cooperated with that because they had to. Law says that they had to do that. And they spent several months going through the books and they looked at everything to see what that company was worth. What we had done over the previous 5 years, how it was growing. They even looked at the fact that I had all the technical expertise and I was leaving and how that was going to affect the company. And they came back and they said to me, your stock is worth $1.3 million. I said, okay, thank you very much. And I asked the attorney to draft up a letter asking the company to buy my stock. And to be honest with you, I expected them to say something like, we'll give you $50 a month for the next 1,000 years. That's really what I thought they would do. I thought that they would try to do something. But I heard from a friend who was one of the employees that the older gentleman became so angry that he said, I'm going to make sure he doesn't get a dime. And in the next 6 months, they took a vibrant, growing, healthy company and they drove it into bankruptcy. They took everything that they could and they sold it. Unbeknownst to me, they paid off everything that had just their names on it and pocketed the rest. In the meantime, Sabrina and I moved to Alpena, and I would love to tell you that God makes it easy for us. But this time, God just impressed upon us that we needed to take a step of faith, that we needed to move to Alpena without jobs. And so we did. And I didn't get a job for 9 months. Brothers and sisters, God calls us to be faithful, even when it's hard. It's not always easy to do what God has called us to do. But we did it. And I finally started working. And I actually got an incredibly good job for that community. But all of a sudden, I started getting phone calls and letters from creditors. Because they had drove the company into bankruptcy. They had paid off everything that had just their names on it, but anything that had my name on it, they didn't pay it off. And now the creditors were coming after me. And I have to be totally honest with you. As a Christian, I was furious. I shouldn't have been, but I was. I was incredibly angry. I'm yelling in the woods. This is not my fault. I was fired from my own company. And so I called my attorney up in California. And I said, is there anything we can do? He said, of course. We have the paperwork that shows that you were terminated long before they ran it into bankruptcy. All we have to do is write a letter to each of the creditors. So I asked him to do that, and he did. And it took a while. But pretty soon I stopped getting phone calls and I stopped getting letters. And as far as I was concerned, it was over with. But God didn't. Brothers and sisters, God is the hound of heaven. He loves you too much to leave you angry. He loves you too much to leave you in a state of unforgiveness. And God just kept working on my heart and working on me and working on me. It took another year. But God finally brought me to the place where I sat down with Sabrina and I said, we need to pay that debt. We went and added it all up and looked at it all. It was about $100,000. We didn't have that kind of money. But we said, Lord, I need to be able to forgive those men. And the only way that I'm going to be able to forgive them is to pay their debt. We started talking to the creditors and we were able to take that down about in half. And so we had about $50,000 that were owed. And we took out a second mortgage on our house. And we paid it off. And I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, it was a very exciting day for me. Look in your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I was never more like Jesus Christ in my entire life than the day I paid a debt I didn't owe. It was an amazing day. And at that point, I was finally able to forgive those men for what they did to me. Look at the next verse, verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. I didn't feel like I owed that money. But God wanted me to be more righteous than those around me. He wanted me to be more righteous than those men. He wanted me to forgive those men. And I imagine that when I did, it was a sweet-smelling aroma to God. It was a powerful day. And you know, brothers and sisters, God is calling you to the same thing. He is not calling us to a passive religion. He's calling us to make the hard choices, to do what's right, no matter what everybody else is doing, no matter what the cost. Is that the desire of your heart? You want to be right with God no matter what everybody else is doing? I hope so. I hope that one day that I look back at my life and it cost me millions to stop chasing money and start chasing God. But I hope that one day that we will all be able to stand on the sea of glass and we will all be able to say, heaven was cheap enough. That we were imitators of God. Not just a passive religion, not just going through the motions, but actually allowing God to change us. Because go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Brothers and sisters, I'm not standing before you this morning boasting about what I've done. Because if it was me, that debt would still be unpaid. But God is able to change us if we let Him. And I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to let God change you? Are you willing to forgive someone that you haven't forgiven yet? Are you willing to imitate God, even to the point of paying a debt that you don't feel that you owe? Is that the desire of your heart? You want to be so right with God that you're willing to give up everything to be right with Him? Is that the desire of your heart? If it is, would you pray with me now? Oh, loving Father, Lord, you're so good. And who are we that you are mindful of us? But Lord, you gave everything to pay our debt. You paid a debt you didn't owe. Lord, I thank you for just the small little fraction of a taste of that that you've given to me. And I pray for everyone here, Lord, that you would help us to have that same joy of paying a debt we don't owe, of forgiving those who hurt us. And Lord, whatever else that you may call us to do or be, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to be willing to be willing to surrender our heart to you and allow you to change us, because we cannot change ourselves. Lord, we give you the glory. We thank you for the joy of being a part of your family. And pray that you'd bless us in our walk. Continue to change us more and more. Finish the work that you have begun in us. Bring it to completion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.